Hello, everyone. I'm Alan Potcotter, and you're listening to Call Talk for November 2nd, 2022. Today's topic is how great frontline support creates great agents, how-to tips. If you're listening live, we invite you to be part of the show and ask questions. Here's how you do it. You can email me at calltalk@benchmarkportal.com. I want to remind everyone that all of our shows are archived and available to listen to at Benchmark Portal any time of the day. And now with that, I would like to introduce the host of the show, Steve Belfiore.
Thank you, Alan, and welcome back to Call Talk, everyone. I'm really happy to have an old friend on the program, Mark Brody. Welcome, Mark. How are you doing?
I am doing well, Bruce. Thank you very much for having me today.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're on. And there may be a little background noise there, so when you're not talking, we might ask you to put it on a mute, but I'm sure it'll be fine. So for our listeners who don't already know him, Mark Brody is a contact center industry veteran who, in addition to his position as CEO and president of Brohawk Solutions based in Austin, Texas, is also president of the Austin Contact Center Alliance, which is a nonprofit organization which brings the Austin area contact center community together for regular events and information. And I've been to the ACCA annual conference a few times as speaker, one time as keynoter, and it's a great group of people they have there in Austin. And I should also mention that Mark is a columnist for the Contact Center Pipeline. So we're going to be talking about a number of things with regard to frontline agents and the contact center in general, sort of getting it unstuck in this post-COVID era, and some of the techniques and some of the tips that Mark has for us as contact center managers. So before we get into the contact about how great frontline support creates great frontline agents, and now that I've introduced you as guru and a long-term Methuselah of the industry, how have you seen contact centers having evolved over the course of your career? Just give our listeners a little bit of a perspective from your point of view.
Yeah, you know, Bruce, thank you very much for having me on. I could geek out about contact centers for like hours upon hours, and I know we only have limited time today. But one of the things that I remember when I first started in this industry 32 plus years ago was that everything had to be done more manually than what currently occurs today. And the frontline agent was really viewed as a member of a cost center as opposed to a value add center, as I would prefer to look at the call center today or the contact center today. And so, you know, back in the day, you know, it was, okay, how many calls can you take? And, you know, are we hitting our metrics? And everything was so numbers driven. Not that it isn't today. But today you have to balance out not just the numbers, but also the people more so than anything, because there's so many options out there for, you know, frontline agents to go. You know, if they don't like the culture in your particular contact center, you know what, there's probably one right down the road or another mouse click to go ahead and join. And, you know, back in the day, people stayed with the companies that they were working for, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, 10 years at a time. I recently worked for a company where, you know, my boss, you know, has now been over there, you know, 35 years plus. And so you just don't see that anymore today. So I think that's really how contact centers have evolved from a personal sense. And I think that from a knowledge base for the agent, it's less transactional and more critical thinking, more empathy and compassion for the folks that are having to, that are calling in, because there's so many other channels that they could use. So when you actually get somebody on the phone or via chat, it's a real problem that person is encountering. And so you have to really support your frontline agents with the tools and resources that they need to be able to handle anything that may come their way, versus, you know, back 30 years ago, it was a lot more transactional.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And I think of the fact that the metrics are being used differently today. And of course, we deal with tons of metrics at Benchmark Portal. And we see that whereas there was a lot of emphasis on simply reducing handle time, for example. Now, we take a little bit of credit for this because we've been pushing the idea of a balanced scorecard of metrics that take into account the human side and the customer satisfaction and agent satisfaction side, along with the efficiency side. So, yeah, you really have to have those things in sync. You have to understand them. And the other thing is that you have to make sure that your people understand it too, why there are those metrics and what they mean, and how squeezing too much on one metric may have something pop out somewhere else that's really very bad for your customer service. So, I agree with you.
Yeah,
you're going to say?
Very true. And I was going to say, Bruce, you know, the thing with that is that, you know, when you squeeze something too hard, something at the other end is going to pop out and explode. And it's going to have that undesired result, and that could be, your agents are getting burned out, because people are focusing more on, you know, average call or average handle time, and they're not looking at occupancy as a measure of burnout as an example.
Right.
So taking a look at the metrics that are out there to help make those data-driven decisions is so, so important.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And so where are you seeing things getting stuck, and how are you seeing them through best practices getting unstuck in a way that could actually help our listeners to do a better job in their job?
Yeah, great question, Bruce. You know, I think where people have gotten stuck, and I'll use the last 2.5 years from a pandemic perspective. You know, there were so many contact centers back in 2019 that would say, "There's no way we're going to be remote." And then, you know, that weekend in March of 2020, and everybody had to pivot home. And I think that really created some opportunities for organizations to really understand where some of their gaps were. You couldn't just, I'm going to use the term from back in the day, MBWA, management by walking around. You couldn't do that as easy. In the remote environment. And so it really, I think the biggest thing that came out of that was the need to really recognize how to be a good human. And that performance, because you couldn't manage by walking around and, tell somebody, hey, you just need to start getting back on the phone. You know, you were at your break too long. You know, there are so many external factors that were impacting a person's performance. It could have been, you know, the fact that they were trying to teach second grade at the same time of trying to do their job. There were so many factors that were impacting performance. And I think that leaders, contact center leaders, have had to recognize how to balance out being human and in being efficient and being productive. And it's hard to do for some organizations. You know, you have these tools, you have a lot of technology tools like Slack, or, and I'm not advocating any one of them. So, please don't take that as an advocation of one, but you have Slack, you have Teams, you have, you know, any of these chat chat tools that are out there. And yes, you can go ahead and just check in on people and everything, but you know, creating that interpersonal connection was where a lot of contact centers were getting stuck in the beginning. I think over the last couple of years, or the last year or so, people have started to figure it out. You know, that it's not just about having that chat conversation, but it's also being able to provide that live support for agents. And so you see a lot more AI tools, a lot of agent assist tools that are coming out, so that if a manager or a supervisor or an escalation desk is not available at the time that the agent needs it, there are these tools that are working in the background that can help support them as well. And you know, that's the biggest area I felt that people were really getting stuck in.
Right. You know, one of the things that came to mind while you were talking is that a lot of this has to do with mindset, and a lot of it will end up going back to leadership, the kind of leadership qualities and techniques that, you know, we advocate for, the exact mm-hmm. kinds of people who listen to this program. So hopefully, you know, there's that old quote from Rahm Emanuel, which is, don't let any good crisis go to waste.
Yeah.
And so that's saying, don't just be reactive, which we all had to be in March of 2020, mm-hmm. but be proactive, you know, say, okay,
yep.
what is it that I can learn from this? What is it that I can do with this? And of course, a lot of centers have learned how to be more human and create community, even among people who aren't in the same room. And it's not necessarily always easy. And I'd be interested in a little bit more of your thoughts on it because, you know, I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal just the other day that some mm-hmm. organizations now have a manager of remote workforce optimization. So this person's job is to focus on making sure that remote people are happy and productive and doing what they need to do, and being loyal and staying with the company. So any thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually, I do. I think that it's incumbent upon every leader to understand, honestly, what a person's vision for their future looks like. So I'm talking frontline agents. What is that frontline agent? What's their vision for progression through the organization? And really create that individualized roadmap with your team and with individuals on an individual basis to understand where they see themselves kind of navigating and progressing. And, you know, oftentimes, you know, pre-pandemic, you know, you could sit down and you could really have some really good conversations, you know, face-to-face, but being able to do this in a remote environment is so important. You know, and understanding what the agent is actually seeing and hearing on each customer interaction, whether it's voice, whether it's, you know, chat or email, or hell, if your organization uses carrier pigeons, you know, for communication, I mean, what is it that agent is seeing that can go ahead and help out the organization become better and be smarter on how calls are how interactions are occurring? And so, getting that voice of the customer sense from the voice of the employee is mm-hmm. so mission critical, you know, to kind of leveraging the knowledge that's there with your agents and by recognizing, hey, I'm a frontline agent, but I can add a lot of value to the organization. Having that 360 you know, feedback loop with your agents that are saying, hey, this is a problem, okay, and it's causing us to have a lot of calls, and most of my calls over the past week have dealt with this issue or that issue. And as that escalates up, actually having the leadership team listen and, you know, take action and then provide feedback and recognition for, hey, this is something that bubbled up from what y'all were saying. And this is what we're doing to go ahead and fix this.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought up that this is a whole channel, Mark, that we have not benchmarked before, courier pigeon. Alan, I think we've got to do a benchmark on courier pigeon going forward.
Yeah, they're wild little beasts.
That's great. Yeah, I had not heard that. We try to do omni-channel, you know. We try to do all the benchmarking, but that's one we haven't got to yet, so... Thanks for bringing that to our attention. And, you know, the feedback that you're talking about is so important. And what you said about having the leadership team listen and recognize what's going on. And when you say listen, you don't just mean necessarily listening to people talking about it, but actually listening to the interactions that show that this is necessary in terms of or that it's ripe for attention, ripe for proactive action, and maybe deserves more technology or more process control, that sort of thing, correct?
Yep. Exactly. I mean, you know, back when I started, if a manager, director, or vice president wanted to know, hey, how many of these call types are we getting today? And what would be the first thing that a supervisor would come out on the floor and say, hey, can you go ahead and keep some tick marks and I'll come by and pick them up in about 15 minutes or an hour or something like that, or turn them in at the end of your shift. Now with technology, especially the AI technology that can key in on certain words or create those sound clouds or those word clouds of what the key things that people are saying, you can create that synergy between what your agents are saying is a problem and what your customers are actually calling in about. And so there becomes a situation where there's no gray area about where improvement needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's great stuff. And without revealing any names of clients or anything like that, can you sort of give a use situation where this was the case and where some sort of technology or process improvement made a difference or training?
Yeah, so, you know, there was a client I was working with, back a couple of years ago, and they kind of, took a look at they had this one day of the year that was their volume was like, 10% of their entire volume for the entire year. I mean, it was a massive day for them. And when things would go wrong, they would ask people to help understand through tick marks, why people were calling in, what were the main things that they were concerned about. And what they were finding was that, a day later when they collected all the tick marks, that it was a marketing initiative or something that didn't quite work the way that it was supposed to on that particular day or in days leading up or immediately after. And so they started taking a look at technology. And really understanding the sentiment and the frustration that the agents were having to deal with. And what they realized is, hey, part of the problem is that people were frustrated because they were in queue too long. They weren't getting their questions answered. And so there was an initiative the following year. We need to go ahead and augment our staff. So that if something does go wrong, then we need to be able to increase our staff, increase the people that are available to take calls, so that the customer that's waiting on hold isn't waiting on hold for 10, 20, 30, 40 minutes because they were typically hanging up and then calling right back in. And so, that was – intuitively, yes, having people on hold for that long is bad. But they were able to actually put some data to it, based on what people were saying and the sentiment that they were bringing to the conversations.
Yeah, no, that's where technology and even some perhaps targeted outsourcing can be very,
yes,
very useful for people. And we've talked to clients about those situations, and anybody who needs to have more information on that. And one of the things too that Mark, you and I have talked about a bit in the past is that sometimes there's a hyper focus on certain buzzwords at senior levels. But they don't always get adopted. And can you just talk about that sort of lead lag component? You already have a little bit, but let's just dive into that a little bit more, because I think that's the kind of thing that can bedevil a lot of our listeners.
Yeah, so I think when people get hyper-focused on these buzzwords like customer experience, and CX is the thing that's out there. Everybody's talking about it these days. And they get so focused on the customer experience that they forget about the impact that it's having to the employee. And so, what I'll talk to companies about is, you really need to go ahead and have alignment between your people, your processes, and your technology. Because if you don't, you're going to have an ineffective employee experience. And what does that usually lead to? A very horrible customer experience. And so just focusing at one end of the spectrum or the other end of the spectrum, you lose a lot in the middle. And so you'll see companies go ahead and say, I'll put together this committee or this work group to go ahead and tackle this aspect. But if they're only working in a silo and only focusing on the customer through the customer lens and forgetting about how what the employee is doing and seeing and being and sharing, how that's impacting the customer experience, they're missing it. And I see that far too often.
Well, the silo busting that you just mentioned, I think, is extremely, extremely important. Something we've advocated for decades at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have that cross fertilization. How many situations can our listeners think of where basically IT has been tasked coming up with the right technology for something, and nobody has even asked them, or much less asked the agents about it, or had them do, say, let's do a pilot first, and let's have our people, try it out, take it, and talk about it. I think that the sort of pulling in information from as many sources as possible is an important thing to do.
It's interesting you mentioned that. It's from an IT perspective, especially. You see a lot of technology vendors really hyper-focused on the CTO space and the technology space, but they sometimes forget about how this is going to impact the end user. And so I had the opportunity a few years back to go ahead and help launch a new line of business for a company I was working for. And one of the things that we needed to figure out, could we build a servicing system or a system that could accommodate everything that this new line of business was expected to handle? And so I worked with our product marketing, our product development people, and our IT people, and we developed something. But the key to it was the first four agents that I was bringing into this new line of business, I wanted them as my user testers. Was this going to be something that was going to get them to the information that they knew the customer was going to be needing as quickly as possible? And so when you're looking at technologies, it's important to get that feedback from your frontline agents. Is this really going to make their life better? Or is it going to make it more complex? Is it going to make it more challenging to get to the data that they're actually going to need? And I recently heard back from this company, and they said that they're still using that database, that system that was created 10 plus years ago in some of their business offerings today. And so I was like, oh, my legacy lives on. So
is that a good feeling? Sometimes it is, sometimes that's fun.
Exactly. Hey, if it works, I'm happy. If it doesn't work, what did y'all do with it? So
exactly. Yeah. No, you got that right. Well, that's good. Well, we're starting to get to the end of our time together here, Mark. But I just wanted to give you an opportunity to share any further thoughts that you have or final thoughts with regard to our topic.
Yeah. I think most importantly, I think companies really need to be hyper focused on behaviors, not the results. The results will happen, but if the wrong behaviors are occurring during customer interactions, they're not being trained properly. From the onboarding process, you could have an agent that scores 5 out of 5 on every single call. Versus an agent that's only scoring 3 out of 5, but taking 25% more interactions. Now, some companies will look at that and say, oh, well, this person's more productive because they're doing more. And I would say, the behaviors that are occurring with that agent that's scoring 5 out of 5, he's not creating additional calls that need to be taken that are going to be queuing up for us. So it's important for companies to really look at the behaviors that are occurring that are leading to better customer satisfaction, better agent satisfaction, and really talking about those with their team, as opposed to just the person that's putting the biggest numbers on the board. And, at the same time, rethinking quality. I think that's so important as well. Get out of the checkbox mentality. Is this agent exhibiting the behaviors that are leading to the results? And provide some behavioral feedback and coaching based on calls that are being observed. Not necessarily, hey, did you say the customer's name 15 times during this conversation? Did you say hello and goodbye and call them by their first name or, whatever the case may be? But really focus on, is the agent, exhibiting the behaviors that are going to lead to the best results and fewer calls down the road? So that would be my ending.
That's great. No, that's fabulous. And actually leads into something that we found out during the pandemic because we had extra time. So and you might put your mic on mute there just for a second, Mark. Created something called Learning Channel, and which people can see on our website and by going to Learning Channel. And it's basically a series of over 30 at this point videos to help call center agents do a better job. And there's all these topics, including active listening, controlling the call, avoiding a monotone response, et cetera, et cetera. There's all kinds of great stuff. We had no idea how much appetite there was for this. The downloads, the use of these videos has just exploded. And we've been asked actually to turn it into a product, which you've done. And so this need for sort of coaching that helps out with the problem that you're talking about is great. And there's oftentimes a need for more than one way to get the message across to people. So it's not that the message hasn't been brought out in initial training. It's not that there hasn't been attempts to coach. But in many cases, people learn different ways, and they need to have things repeated, but not necessarily always the same way. So it's just interesting to see this as a need in our industry, and we've been very happy that, you know, people have found a value in that. So, well, Mark, listen, it's been great having you on. We really appreciate it. And with that, and with your final words, I'd like to hand things over to Alan to wrap things up. So, again, thanks to Mark Brody for being with us today.
Thank you for having me there, Bruce and Alan. I've had a great time today.
Great.
Thank you to Mark again and to Bruce for your insightful discussion on today's show. Be sure to join us next month for another great show, or look at our huge selection on hot topics or in archive shows at benchmarkportal.com. Then click on Call Talk, where you'll find over 12 seasons of this show. From all of us at Benchmark Portal, keep those headsets steady and your fingers ready. This is Alan Potcotter signing out. Have a great day.